Okay, ready in 3, 2, 1. Hello, 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 and welcome to Add This to Your List.
Hey.
This is episode 100.
100!
We are old.
Oh.
One honey, yes.
One honey, give me that money. Someone please give me that money. This is
guys,
exciting,
that's kind
guys.
Of crazy to think about. 100 episodes, though.
Did
that's
you guys
a lot.
Ever think when we were saying, all right, let's do a test round, did you ever think we'd get this far?
No.
No. Well, no, I did. I thought, you know, well, I also thought we would be further.
in other ways.
Yeah. Right. But it's been such a wonderful experience and so much fun. And we do this anyway.
Oh, yeah.
The three of us are obsessed with all things entertainment and TV and movies and all that stuff. So these are conversations we just have on like a regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
So it was fun. It's been fun to be able to chat with you guys weekly or biweekly or whatever and just like do it, you know?
Yeah.
And just like talk about what we love doing and talking about.
Yeah, and it's been exciting
totally.
To hear good feedback from people over the years that like, oh, I didn't even know that was happening, or I didn't even know they were
totally.
Doing that. So basically, you're welcome, everyone.
Right. We've got a really good show for you guys today. This is 100 for us, so it's special. We're going to do our regular housekeeping and headlines, and then, of course, we've got our list. But we're really excited about our C-Block this week because we've got fans, friends, family who have mm-hmm. sent in audio, and they're going to be part of our show, and they're going to talk about what they agreed about, what we talked about, what they didn't agree about, what we talked about,
yeah.
and just give us some love, and we love them for doing that.
Yeah.
So thank you everyone who is participating and who sent in some stuff to be in our show for our 100th episode.
Gracias.
Yeah. Very exciting. Thank you guys.
And then we have a little bit of some sad news to report before we get into housekeeping and headlines. This week we lost Regis Philbin, and Mark and I have shared that that's how we met.
Yeah.
We were interns at Live with Regis and Kelly. Don't Google when that was on,
because
you'll know how old we are.
That's right. It was not Kelly and Ryan. It was not Kelly and Michael. It was not Kelly.
It was Regis and Kelly.
And Fumi and I met in that basement when we were looking at beautiful babies.
Yes, that's so true.
Many years
and
ago.
We just clicked instantly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Regis was a wonderful, wonderful human being. He obviously was, you know, the first name on that show,
yeah.
but he never carried himself in any way other than just being kind and gracious and thanking us for even just being interns
yeah.
and like laughing. So he will be so thoroughly missed.
Absolutely.
And I know, Mark, you do as well, but I just count myself very lucky to have been able to like meet him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
That's amazing, guys.
Totally.
Kudos to you.
And luckily, you know, because that show, that staff is pretty, you know, damn small, it was really cool that he really did look at you. He really did say hello, as did Kelly. But yeah, we are lucky that we got to work with him. And you'll feel, you know, his presence in this episode. And I think we'll feel his presence for many more years to come. He totally changed TV and interviewing and pop culture. So yeah, thanks, Reej.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. All right. So now we'll get into our housekeeping and headlines. First things first, housekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Who has some news?
I guess I'll go. I'll do my housekeeping. It's a little housekeeping fun thing about Netflix, since obviously everyone, we talk so much about Netflix movies and Netflix shows.
Yeah.
So as you guys have probably heard by now, Netflix, you know, for a long time, they were very secretive. But in the last, you know, couple years, as they've been getting more awards attention, they're, you know, revealing more about their, shall we say, ratings or viewership. And so they have recently released their full top 10 list of most popular movies. And here is the list. And I want us just to go through, because a lot of these we've talked about, some I've never seen. I think Tom said he's only seen two of these movies.
Dose, baby, dose.
So we will go from lowest to highest. So number 10 is The Perfect Date with 48 million people. I think that was recent, right, Foom? You're our Netflix
yeah,
nerd.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen everything on
oh,
this
yeah.
list.
I think...
So, yeah, The Perfect Date
I think that was Camilla?
Was on... Yes.
Yeah, okay. Recently. I guess number 9 is The Platform, which I know Fumi definitely talked about. That
yes.
was watched by 56 million and counting. And then earlier than that, or higher on that, I should say. Number 8 is The Wrong Missy with 59 million, which I admit I just watched recently, and it is actually kind of good. It's really stupid, but really funny. And then number, what would that be? 7 is Triple Frontier. Did not see this one with 63 million.
I didn't see that one, I don't think either.
Okay, so none of us saw that one because Tom, I
wait,
doubt
I
you
might
saw that.
Have, and maybe I didn't finish.
You might. I remember hearing it wasn't so good. That was Ben Affleck and maybe Oscar.
Oh,
Isaac?
Yeah, I didn't finish that. Okay. I didn't finish that.
Then number 6 is The Irishman with 64 million. Tom saw that one. I only made it maybe half an hour into that one.
I mean, same.
Yeah. then we have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, top 5. Number 5 is one I raved about on this show, Murder Mystery. 73 mm-hmm. million people. That was a fun comedy. We're going to see a sequel soon with Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler. That
was good.
Watched by 73 million. Yeah, right? It's fun. It's super, mm-hmm. it's a super silly one. Right above that, number 4 is 6 Underground, which also came out, I think, earlier this year. 83 million people watched that one. I didn't. I'm not one of them. Then Fumi talked about Spencer Confidential. That is number mm-hmm. 3, mm-hmm. 85 million.
That was fun.
That was Mark Wahlberg?
Yep.
Okay. That one, see, it's funny. A lot of these were in the last year. I guess that makes sense because they didn't really track a lot of these numbers earlier. And then number 2, of course, huge, which we all raved about, Bird Box, 89 million people.
Yep,
remember how
saw
huge
that, one.
That was? Like yep. Christmas time that year. And then number 1, a movie I still haven't seen earlier this year, 99 million people. Basically, by this point, 100 million people have watched Extraction with Chris Hemsworth.
I had started watching that, I think, about a few weeks ago. I didn't finish, and then I just watched it again and watched it the whole way through. Let me tell you.
Huh.
What that movie is so good, action, and Chris Hemsworth,
He is so special, right?
He's special.
God His created
wife
a good
is
one.
So lucky to have him.
She's special,
okay?
too. She is stunning.
She is.
It's actually really disgusting that the two of them are together. Like, you cannot, that's not allowed. There's too much.
A fly on that wall, right?
Oh. But so that movie was good? It was directed by the Marvel people, the Russo brothers.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was typical, like, all action-packed fighting. The story was kind of interesting. It's not like groundbreaking storytelling, but it's entertaining. It'll definitely keep your eyes open and keep you glued to the screen.
Yeah. So that's the list, everyone. I'm sure it'll change with the next big thing very soon. But yeah, so Tom, I think, counts 2. I maybe have watched like 4. Fumi's watched basically all
probably,
10.
Yeah, almost.
Almost, give or take.
And so I wanted to talk about really quickly is just we have constantly been talking about with like COVID-19 and quarantine, whatever you're calling it, in your neck of the woods mm-hmm. with all of the pushback of the theater and like the films and Tenet. They were very adamant about being released in the theater. And obviously theaters are closed in California. They're not open in New York. Mark, you shared that ridiculous statistic with us about right? like, what would you say? It was like 30% came from.
Yeah, I forget what it was
it
now.
It was like 25% of an opening weekend came from New York, LA, and San Francisco.
Yes, a major chunk. And that was a big thing why Tenet, I think, was pushed back. Even in recent articles, how Tenet now is taken off the calendar, as you're saying, Foom. Mm-hmm. I even saw in some articles that it was because of those 3 cities. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. As of right now, Tenet's going to open internationally because they got their shit together and we don't. But who knows when it'll be stateside. So, I don't know, man. Mulan has been put off the calendar indefinitely. So, who knows what's going
to
happen?
Quiet Place 2 moves to next year. Basically, the only things that are still standing right now are like Candyman for October and Aretha, the Respect with Jennifer Hudson for like Christmas Day. It's like
Oh God, Christmas movies. You don't even really think about that. But yeah, what's gonna happen?
Can you imagine if there are no Christmas movies?
Oh, and
all?
Wonder Woman is still on the calendar too.
Really? Okay, she's not gonna stay on there long. But what's just kind of like alarming?
They need to push back Candyman too.
Yeah, they should. Or like you had said last episode, Foom, I could be into Candyman being VOD.
Totally.
I'll rent it gladly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, did you guys hear what just happened this evening?
Oh, tell us. Breaking news.
AMC Theaters, Universal, and Paramount all signed an agreement that they will allow the window to be 17 days after theatrical release for...
Damn!
Yeah.
Wow,
really?
That's because AMC is losing lots of
money.
They
are nervous. They're like, oh, fuck.
And you know what? Guess what, bitch? I'm not sad for you because theaters have a chokehold on entertainment. And guess what? I don't want to go to the damn theater. I will gladly pay money to watch a movie another way. So, sorry, AMC, but that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so Tom, so 17 days after theater release date, it can go on VOD?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow,
they
that's
just
nothing.
Entered into an initial agreement.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow, Tom, thanks for that. I just got goosies. I'm like,
I'm excited.
Ooh, 17
well,
days.
Mark
that's
and
nothing.
I are the ones who love to watch it at home. Tom's like, this is bullshit.
Yeah. Tom, Tom?
I'm going to go pick it in LA oh, or my DC God. Or wherever they're going to lobby against it. I'm going to go join them.
Tom can go opening night with his mask and with no one. And Fumi and I will have our popcorn, have our feet right. up on the couch 17 yep. days later. Thank you.
Love it. But the big headline is the Emmy nominations.
Yes,
they are here.
So they announced the noms as of this recording on Tuesday. They did it later, as we discussed.
Mm, yeah, later
got
in the day.
Happy that he had to wait until the afternoon.
My ass got into
nominated.
The office. My ass got into the office by 8:30, and I sat down and started Googling, and I was like, "What the fuck? Why are there no
yeah.
Emmy noms?"
Yeah.
It was like 11:30 East.
Yeah.
11:30 like, East
what?
Coast. Is definitely a random time. But were you able to have an early lunch break and watch or no?
Girl, we don't have lunch.
Oh, sorry. I watched live. I thought it was a fun little announcement.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. I watched ABC News, streamed it live with Leslie Jones.
I just kept refreshing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like mm-hmm. the Vanity Fair list. I just yeah. kept refreshing while I was writing a memo.
That's hilarious. Well, let's get into it. Yeah. So this is the nominations for the 72nd Emmy Awards that are going to be airing September
20th. Yeah.
And
I love that. I'm all for a virtual award show. Let's try it. Let's see what it's like. It's going to be weird, but why?
Yeah.
Why postpone? People love TV. We can talk about TV. Keep it on schedule. I think it'll be cool.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I want to see inside their homes.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for Netflix. They broke records this year by having a total of 160 nominations, followed by HBO with 137. However, shit. HBO had the overall most nominated show, which is Watchmen, which did we talk about that
yeah,
on the show?
Did
I bring it up?
You did,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic show. Have you guys had a chance to watch it yet?
No.
No. Can I just tell you, I think I've said this before on the show, but I've told you guys definitely, I am overwhelmed with all the shows I need to watch. I have to watch so many of these shows. Watchmen is at the top of my list. Oh my God, so much to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy for them. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's a great. I think there might be cleaning up, honestly, to be honest. And then followed by Amazon's Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yep, no-brainer.
No-brainer. Netflix's Ozark, HBO's mm-hmm. Succession. Which
Succession did really, like, literally, nearly the whole fucking cast is nominated.
I know. I really need to get
it. So,
watch
so
that,
good.
Tom
just
are
started.
It's going to be on my list next week.
Ooh,
oh, nice.
Teaser. Yeah, Foom, I have to watch it, too. My friends love it. I know Tom
I know,
just started and loved
nothing
it.
Nothing but good things.
We got to get on it, because I think season 3 comes out soon. So
No.
I don't
want to
get too far behind.
They started filming. They were like, two episodes in when shit shut down. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was further along. Never mind.
And
okay.
How many episodes is a season?
10.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Disney's Mandalorian got some noms in there. And this is the first for Disney Plus, right?
Yeah.
So they must be really excited.
Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus have some big noms. Yeah. And you know who else has noms, guys? Can we just talk about Quibi? Quibi got like
ten
nominations.
Oh, wow.
Yes, for a lot of their actors, Anna Kendrick, Christoph Waltz, The Most Dangerous Game, that Christoph Waltz, Liam Hemsworth show got a lot. None of the shows I watched on Quibi got any love, which I was bummed about. But Quibi is Emmy nominated, so I don't know if we should be writing it off just yet. I don't know if this is a fluke.
I honestly have to say that, granted, I do think that they actually have pretty decent programming, so no shade, but I do think this is part of the connections that Jeffrey Katzenberg has.
Because I mean, not that, you know, we, the three of us, get a lot of, like, For Your Consideration stuff, but I saw no Quibi ads anywhere. So,
yeah
I think he was, you know, elbowing some people.
Let's talk snubs. What surprised you guys the most? Because I know it surprised me.
What?
Can I just say, like, who the fuck did Reese Witherspoon piss off?
I know.
Three shows. She's eligible for 3 shows, and she didn't get a damn Emmy nod.
I know.
What surprised you?
Well, I was surprised by Reese as well. Well, granted, I assume she got nominated for at least for producing, because didn't Big Little Lies get nominated for Best Drama Series?
No, it did not. It did
oh,
not.
No, it didn't. Mm-hmm. Oh, I my know. Gosh.
Isn't that, that's big. I mean, it was the Emmy darling
but
the
she
first
at least
season
got
one.
For little, she at least got for Little Fires Everywhere.
I guess so, yeah, because that is nominated yes. for yep. limited series. So yeah, she at least, yeah. I think, is on the, oh, but you know what? I even, I'll while we're talking, I'll look it up. I even, like, searched for her name. And it didn't pop up.
It didn't come
at
up.
At all.
Maybe she didn't submit herself.
Maybe.
Do we think that might have been what happened?
But that would be
because
crazy.
Right? She's like a darling in Hollywood. People
and
love her.
And she did
I
a good job on
that they purposely.
The morning
I mean,
show as well. And Little Fires, she rocked. Like when I saw
the
it was
finale
only...
of Little Fires. Oh, my.
I mean,
excellent.
Come yeah. on. She was fantastic.
That's a surprise. So, but that, like I told you yeah. guys offline, I wonder if everyone's a little... Just, she's everywhere. And I wonder if that's actually kind of hurting her.
A little jelly.
Right? Or just like, oh my God,
a little jealous
I'm getting confused.
That her production company is
the best
dominating.
One.
Dominating.
I have a surprise.
Probably.
I have a surprise that maybe isn't a surprise, but I was bummed because, guys, I can't rave about the show enough. Please. I know it's coming back for season two, so we don't have to save it. But Nothing for Dave that I love so much on FX or FX on Hulu. Nothing for the show, Dave. I'm really surprised.
Oh,
not even,
yeah, you love them.
Not even writing. And guys, the performances and writing on the show, you will laugh, you will cry, you will everything. So nothing there. Maybe season two. But it's nice to see Curb, a similar kind of vibe of a show. Curb got nominated for Best Comedy, which I'm all for. That's nice.
I was really surprised. So Paul Mescalin, who is the yeah. lead guy in the Normal People, which I absolutely loved. But Daisy Edgar-Jones, who was his female counterpart, who I think had a heavier lift in oh. throughout that series, she was not nominated. So that yeah. really kind of threw me aback.
It's the competition is fierce. And also, I thought it was interesting. We had talked about Hollywood on this show, Ryan Murphy's Hollywood. And I remember you guys had said, nah, nothing's really award-worthy. It actually got like 10 nominations and a lot for actors. What do yeah. you guys think? Because I still haven't like finished it. Have you? Did you? Do you guys agree with all that, or is it kind of like weird?
I don't know. It.
Meh.
Eh.
I mean, I'm not surprised I got nominated, but do I think it's an Emmy-worthy show? No. Uh huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we talk about Zendaya though?
Oh, yes, Zendaya.
So happy. Congratulations. Praise. Such a good show. We love the fact that she got recognized.
Finally,
yeah.
She's so fantastic. The show didn't seem to get much love, but at least she did.
No.
And it was really exciting to actually see like Leslie Jones and Laverne Cox and the other Tatiana Maslany and the guy from Frozen I don't like. Josh Gad. The four of them were doing the announcements and they all like screamed when they said Zendaya. So I love that people are like us and like, you know, agreeing that she is very well deserved. That'll be a good category.
I was super, super happy that Annie Murphy got nominated finally, too, for Schitt's
Creek.
Oh,
did she? Okay.
Yeah, because Alexis's character is very complex. And to me, she had the biggest character arc on that whole series. Mm. So it was.
So no love for Dan Levy. Levy.
No, Dan Levy was nominated.
Oh, did he? Okay.
The whole, all four of them.
Oh, okay. What? Dan and Annie are considered supporting?
Supporting,
gotcha.
Right. And then Catherine and Eugene went main.
I have a feeling Catherine might win. I don't know.
I do too.
This could be.
I do too.
Because she's just so great. Mm. I don't know. Also, can we talk about? I haven't watched it yet. I hear great things. What We Do in the Shadows, the FX TV show, got its way in there for best comedy. That's
yeah.
cool. And Insecure finally got nominations.
Yep.
Right. That's exciting.
And we're very excited for Insecure and Issa Rae and Yvonne Orji. That yes. show had a spectacular season. So I'm really, really, really happy. It got recognized.
Yeah.
It's about time.
I was going to say, it is very interesting that The Politician, another Netflix Ryan Murphy show, season one and season two came out in less than a year from each other, which is crazy, right? And it got very few noms. I think Bette Midler is the only actor to be nominated. So I think that kind of was a little bit of a dud. I wonder if we'll even see a season three or if they'll just kind of let that disappear. But interesting.
I was super surprised that Anne Hathaway wasn't nominated mm-hmm. for her excellent turn in that Modern Love episode where she plays a woman suffering with manic
yeah.
depression.
Yeah,
I was
yes.
really, really surprised by that.
Yes,
because
yeah,
I saw
right?
Dev Patel got a nom. So
yes.
Yeah.
And I don't remember his episode, so that's it's not a memorable episode to me. Hers is, so that was really surprising to me.
I know. There are definitely some interesting choices, yeah. I have to agree, because you're totally right. with her performance. It was fantastic. She did such a good job. And I have to also shout out Rami Youssef for Rami. He got nominated, and that's such a fun, amazing show, and it really had a really spectacular season, especially with Mahershala Ali guest starring. So I kind of hope, I kind of feel like Mahershala is going to get it.
Oh my God, he gets every award. That'll be amazing.
Good for him.
But he is so good
in it. I gotta
check
that out.
It's like his acting is, I mean, he's just a beast in terms of acting. Yeah. Like, he's fantastic.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
I was also surprised that Rose Byrne wasn't nominated, because a lot of the women from Mrs. America were nominated, and Rose wasn't one of them for playing Gloria Steinem, which kind of surprised me a bit.
I kind of have to be honest. I'm surprised any of those women got
nominated. Oh, shit.
Except
Even
for Kate.
Oh, okay.
Except for Kate.
I was
Except
about
for Kate.
To say.
Other than that, I'm really shocked that many of them got nominated.
I actually think Tracy Ullman might win in that category, because she was really good as Betty Friedan.
I still haven't watched.
Interesting.
That's another thing I have to watch. Most of these things.
I mean, Mark, put that like far down your list. Like,
great, thank you. Let's be
honest.
I liked
it, but I was a little bored.
You were getting a little sleepy? Okay.
Even
though it didn't
need
to
be
9 episodes.
It didn't. It really, you know what?
It could have been like 6 or 7.
It didn't need to be a series. I feel like it could have been like a long movie.
Yeah, like a 2-part movie
or
something. Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. And that you could still like it. You know, that's good that it was on your list. It just didn't end up being, you know, amazing.
Yeah,
I got lots to watch. But what do you guys, before we move on, what do you guys think will be the big winners of the evening? If you were to predict right now, at least like comedy, limited series, and drama, what do you think?
Succession.
I do think Succession might be the drama. Comedy, could it be Schitt's Creek? Or maybe it's Insecure.
I think it'll be The Good Place.
Oh, The Good Place. Because this was its last
season.
It's the
final season.
Yeah, and people love that show. Yeah, Foom, I could see that.
And I think it could be like the, oh my God, the shock of the night that a network broadcast series won.
Yeah, because...
So they might give it to them. Otherwise, I'd say if it's not The Good Place, it's probably going to end up being The Kominsky Method or Schitt's Creek.
Interesting. Okay. And then for limited series, I could see Normal
unless
People.
They go boring and freaking give it to Marvelous Mrs. Maisel yet again.
You know, I don't know. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I love season 3, as usual. That's an awesome show, but I don't know. It doesn't seem to have as much momentum this year, you know?
Yeah, but speaking of Maisel, can we say, I love Sterling K. Brown, but I don't think his turn on Maisel was, I don't think the role was meaty enough to get a nomination for that. Yeah, he was nominated for both This Is Us and for Mrs. Maisel.
Oh yeah, Tom, no Mandy Moore, huh?
No, not this year, but she got in last year.
She did.
But actually, it's upsetting though, because this year she had really good stuff to do with Alzheimer's.
Oh.
So
damn, it's competitive out there. TV is where it's at, y'all.
Well, it's so weird because drama had 8, comedy had 8, but limited series had 5.
Had 5, yeah. It is interesting.
And it's like Normal People could have gone in there for a 6th.
I thought
The Plot Against America could have gone in there for a 7th.
Oh, was Normal People not nominated for limited series?
No.
Oh, that's really weird, because I was going to say that would win. I feel like that would win just based on every... I haven't seen it yet. But all right, so then for limited series, what might win? Little Fires?
Yeah.
Okay, you think that?
Or Mrs.
You think
America.
Little Fires?
It's either going to be Mrs. America or Little Fires.
No, it's going to be Watchmen. It's either going to be Watchmen or Unbelievable.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad, Foom. I'm so glad you brought up Unbelievable, because I loved that show. And I'd say I was sort of surprised that, like, Toni Collette got a nom. And Toni is great. But, like, nothing for Merritt Weaver. Like, that cast was so strong. Every single role.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin Dever. Did she get a nom? I mean, she's... fucking great in that show. Oh my God, that's crazy. But also, can we just talk about going back to Unbelievable, and like when I saw Stranger Things pop up, I'm very happy season 3 is nominated, but I was like, wait a minute, did I miss a season? This window,
yeah, same with me.
This whole window, I don't know, it's not
weird, very
and we've
weird.
Talked about this before, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but like same thing with the Grammys, it's like, wait, what? Even Euphoria, it's like that season came out over a year ago. They got to do something about this window of eligibility, because it's confusing. That's all I'm going to say. But I'm excited. And yay, diversity. We got, at least in the main acting categories, we have at least one person of color, I think, in every, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool with it all.
And that's it for our housekeeping and headlines. We are excited for the Emmys, and we can't wait to see who wins.
Yeah, September 20th, y'all. We'll have to check it out. Virtual. Okay, everybody, it is the moment we all have been waiting for, been working for. Are we ready for our episode 100 list?
Yes!
Let's do it! Woo.
This is the segment, as you all know, where we like to tell you what we're watching, what we're hating. There is a lot of content out there. So if this is your first time coming to add this to your list, you have come to the right place. We will help you choose what to watch. And with that, let's get into it. How about Tom? You want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So first thing on my list is the much buzzed about film Greyhound, starring Tom Hanks. It has basically broke records for Apple TV Plus, and I feel like they kind of maybe sort of needed that win. Mm-hmm. And a win indeed they did get, right? So Greyhound was supposed to be released in theaters, and if you listeners have been with us along for the whole ride, you will remember that early on we had John Silva, who's a film editor, as a guest of this podcast, and he had just told us at that point that he was going to be doing post-production work on Greyhound.
Yeah.
So lo and behold, COVID hits, and they decide, you know what, Apple's going to acquire it, and they're going to release it on the streaming service instead. Mm-hmm. It is a World War II movie about
your fave.
This is up Tom's alley, baby.
Mm-hmm. It's a World War II movie about a ship that is trying to take supplies from the U.S. to England. So we are in the war at that point, right? We're part of the Allies. And there's a little bit of history that I actually didn't know. So this was a common occurrence that they would send the ships back and forth across the Atlantic. And they had airplane guard up until a certain point. But once the ship reached a certain mileage from the U.S. coast, the planes would turn around and they would leave them for, you know, hundreds of miles in open water with no air protection until they got to a certain point where they were close to the shores of England, and then the British Air Force would then give them air protection. So the movie basically follows a ship that Tom Hanks's character is commandeering. He's the captain of that ship. And they're being chased by German U-boats as they are in this kind of black hole across the Atlantic where they have no air protection. Guys, this is an add this to your list. It was pretty damn cool. I loved it. It was super riveting. It was pretty intense. The music was interesting. Every time a German U-boat would surface, Jeff kept laughing and saying it's like Jaws because there was like this ominous music that would surface. But yeah, I thought it was good. It's a quick 90 minutes. They don't waste any time with any kind of bullshit. I find that's the trend now with war movies, right? Like in the past, think Saving Private Ryan, right? A movie that was nearly 3 hours long. You knew all about the soldiers' backgrounds. But then think Dunkirk, think 1917, and now think Greyhound. They're just like getting in there and they're getting right out and they're just getting you suspense. And this movie, it follows that similar formula, and I thought it was great. I will say, Jeff and I turned to each other several times and said, I really wish I was watching this on the big screen, though, because it is a war movie. Mm. But yeah, check it out if you haven't already.
Sorry, you watch this on Apple TV?
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's an Apple film.
Yeah.
Did you have to buy it, or it's on the streaming platform?
No, I signed up for another free trial of the streaming.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tom, because
I
didn't think you were still watching Apple streaming, but okay, so you did another free trial. Although, oh, that's right, because you didn't get a new Apple product. If you got a new Apple product, you have free streaming for a year.
Oh, but that's fantastic.
How long is the free trial, Tom?
7 days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, that's cool. So, maybe now you can watch Defending Jacob with your boo, Chris Evans.
We tried the first episode, and it felt too broadcasty to us.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
We didn't make it through the whole first episode.
I didn't make it through all of Greyhound.
Isn't that what Mark said, too, about Defending Jacob? It kind of seems a little broadcast.
No, he liked it.
No,
oh,
I
yeah,
liked
he
it.
He did say it felt broadcasty, yeah.
Maybe I did, but no, I like it. I'm not finished it just yet, but no, I'm into it. It gets good, and I just... Apple stuff looks so good, as does Greyhound. It looks super good, but yeah, it's not really for me. But love you, John Silva. I'm so happy for you. Good job on a great, successful movie for Apple. This was a smart move.
Yep, totally. And Foom, before I get into my second list item, since we're on the topic of war movies, you watched The Five Bloods this weekend.
I did.
Oh, boy.
So you were not a fan. Why?
I was not a fan. Okay, I'll say this. Delroy Lindo... Like, give him, I don't know if this is going to be an Emmy or an Oscar type movie. I have no idea anymore, but give him a nomination.
Yep.
He did such a fantastic job. Like, I hated his character.
Yep.
He seemed like batshit crazy, like unstable. That being said, I thought the acting was great. I thought, you know, I'm a huge fan of Spike Lee. I could not get past the idiocy of these characters. like, they're in Vietnam. They are going back to where they were when they were soldiers in Vietnam. They very much are aware of, like, minefields and the dangers. They're there to find two specific things. And I just feel like if you're going on a journey and you're going to find something that you know will cause a lot of trouble and drama, and potentially if the wrong people find out about it, you could get attacked or murdered, like, keep your mouth shut. They're, like, screaming it to anybody who will listen what they're there to get. And then, like, doing stupid shit while they're in the woods and the forest. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you wandering around aimlessly? You know that there's danger around. Like, why are you screaming off the top of your lungs? You guys know what you're there to get. You didn't plan better. You know you're old. Like, what is going on? So, and you guys know me and my pet peeve in films is idiot people and stupid people.
Fumi doesn't do well with suspension of belief.
Handle that. Like, it literally will take me out of an entire film and I won't be able to enjoy it or get into it at all. There were parts where I was like, I'm going to turn this off. This is complete and utter stupidity. Like, and I just can't handle it. So, that being said, Delroy, fantastic job. Did you know that he was British?
Wait, I did not. Are you sure?
Born in England, yes.
What? Wow.
He was born in England and moved to Canada when he was a teenager. Wow. And I am not sick, people. I just have really bad allergies. It's very
she
early
doesn't have
for
COVID.
Me. I don't have COVID. I just have really bad allergies in the morning. Anyway, that being said, I loved his performance. I loved all the actors in the film. There were parts of the movie that I just couldn't get past. It was just complete and utter garbage to me.
I still haven't seen it. I got to get to it like this week. But I have to say, Fum, you're one of the few people I've heard that don't like it. So this is super interesting.
Yeah. All around, the movie was decent, but there were just certain parts that, just because of my own personal pet peeves, took me out of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kathy?
All right, so back to me now, back to my list. second item on my list is the horror film Relic, which is also out on streaming on VOD. This film is a very small film. It's an Australian film. It stars Emily Mortimer, who many of you may be familiar with. I love her. I'm a huge fan of her. Basically, she and her daughter are trying to get in touch with her mother, who lives by herself for a couple of days, and they can't get in touch with her. So they go drive out, you know, a couple hours to the house where she lives. And when they arrive at the house, they realize that she's not there. So they file a missing persons report. They get a search party looking for her. But lo and behold, the mom turns up a few days later. And when she does turn back up, let's just say things in the house and with the mom are not the same as they were.
Wow, I love that setup. Okay.
And some spooky things really start going on. So, here's my dilemma with this film. I thought the story was good. I thought the acting was good. There's some really, you know, interesting thematic stuff between a mom and daughter and, you know, the fact of family having to accept when Alzheimer's is setting in because the mother is starting to suffer from some dementia problems. And there's that aspect to the film. And that was very interesting plot device and a story driver. The atmosphere is really good. There are a couple moments that gave me and Jeff both literally chills. Like, it was so fucking creepy.
Wow.
But I have to say, it's one of those movies where the last 5 minutes goes into, like, utter chaos, like, so out of left field. You're just like, what? And the ending just, it spoils the rest of the movie. So you have, it's a 90-minute movie again. Mm-hmm. Must be a theme with me. So you have, you know, the first hour and 25 minutes, which is good and riveting and dramatic and spooky and scary. And then you have a 5-minute ending that just takes things just totally berserk and bonkers and just ruins the whole thing. So I'm going to say it's an okay to miss.
Oh, wow.
Okay to miss.
The ending. Wow.
The ending is going to really piss a lot of people off because they're going to be like, what the fuck did I just watch and why did I just
and
waste
it? And where did you see this?
It's on streaming. It's on
VOD. You can
VOD.
Rent it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So, Tom, it's not even a one and done. Like, it's not like everything's so like good and working for you. But the like, it's a straight out okay to miss.
It's so out of left field that it makes it an okay to miss. Yeah.
Wow. Because I did want to watch it, but maybe I shouldn't. Or maybe it's a it's something.
You might be a little more forgiving with it, Mark.
I might wait. Maybe it's good. I'm sure it'll be on something in a bit. So first to stream. Wow, Tom. Okay. Interesting. And produced by Jake Gyllenhaal. I have heard it's one of the most overrated movies of the year.
So, oh, interesting.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people on IMDb say, like, wow, this was so good, and wow, it was so bad. So, okay.
Oh, all so right. That's general consensus.
Yeah, a lot of people. Critics love it. But,
yes, it's got a very high tomato score.
Very high and Metascore, everything. It's very high, but fans are like, what? So, wow, bummer. Okay. Well, Foom, tell us what you got on your list.
Okay, so the first thing on my list is Old Guard. It's on Netflix, and it is an add to your list, y'all. Like, Charlize Theron plays a immortal, along with a few other characters who basically are...
she is immortal?
Yes.
She lives forever? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It is very much in the world of like a Marvel superhero type film.
Gotcha.
Like I can
okay.
see this being a very cool franchise for Netflix.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So she plays an immortal along with a few other characters. And they basically are, I don't want to say fighting for their lives because they don't really die, but they are fighting for, I guess in a way, their survival to like live freely. There is an antagonist out there who very much wants them for medical purposes, and it sets up this really interesting story about who they are, where they come from, how they interact with one another, and finding a new immortal to bring into the fold. And the action scenes in this movie are spectacular. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Charlize Theron. I know that she's got it in her ever since Mad Max Fury. Like,
she's
that was
badass.
A film that like set off her tone and like action. And we were like, damn, like she can do action really well.
Mm-hmm.
She kicks ass in this movie. I mean, the fight scenes alone are fantastic. Her with another young woman. I think her name is Kiki Lane. Like she or KM Lane. She does a fantastic job. The other actors in this are superb. It's just a really good movie all around. Like fantastic.
Nice.
So good. Add it to your list. I think that it's already breaking records. I think Netflix has already said this movie is like broke astronomical records for them. And it sets up a sequel really, really, really well.
Fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to see it. I'm like one of the few people that hasn't seen it. Have you seen it, Tom?
No, not yet, but I'd like to because the gay media was talking about how
there is a gay couple and they're very cute.
And they're both immortal too, right?
Yes.
Cool. I had no idea there was like a fantasy supernatural element to it. That's really cool.
I actually think Charlize might be gay as well, but it's very ambiguous. I'm not really sure what her character.
Okay.
But it is so good. Such a fun watch. Add it to your list. Yeah.
Love it. Okay, cool.
And the next thing on my list is Motherless Brooklyn. I'm gonna say it's also an ad, but you don't really need to watch it more than once, you know? It stars Edward Norton. I watched it on HBO. It was like the HBO Saturday Night Movie.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Edward Norton plays the movie takes place in the 50s in Brooklyn, in Manhattan, in New York. And Edward Norton plays Lionel, who is a man with Tourette syndrome. You know, he's like a thespian type actor. You know,
absolutely.
He envisions himself to be a
roles.
Christian Bale type actor.
God.
You know,
yes.
He also wrote and directed this, based off of a book that I guess he took a lot of creative license with. He basically just kept like the setting of New York City and like the character name, but changed everything else. Yeah, so he took a lot of creative license with this, but so basically he stars as Lionel, a young man with Tourette syndrome, who witnesses a murder of his boss, who is a private investigator played by Bruce Willis. And he then sets out to try to uncover what Bruce Willis's last case was or investigation to try to understand why he got murdered. So it was good. It was a little long. And by a little, I mean a lot. It was like 2.5 hours.
Unnecessarily.
It does not need to be that long in any way, shape, or form. There were definitely scenes in the film where I was like, this is clearly just you wanting to hear yourself talk and wanting to see yourself because this is not needed in any way. But, you know, Edward did a good job with his acting. I don't know. Part of me was like, did he really need to play this character? Did he really need to have Tourette's? But... because he would go out of it so easily. The transition out, like, it would very much be like, oh, well, clearly you're not someone who has Tourette's. Like, it was interesting the way that he played it.
And it's not like that's part of his character that he's, like, pretending to have Tourette's.
No, not like, at all. He has it. Like, but the thing is, it takes place in the 1950s, and so he never even knows what it's called. He just says, he constantly says that he's something wrong with his brain. But then he uses it as a humor mechanism. Like, he'll be talking and having a serious conversation, and then he'll blurt out something, and he'll be like, I'm sorry, I can't control. And people are like, it's fine. Which I can tell is meant to have the audience laugh, but I don't necessarily think it's, like, per se, it was funny in that moment.
Right.
But yeah, it's a good movie, and you should, like you said, it's a one and done. I don't think you need to, like, rush to see this, but if you happen to be bored one night and there's nothing else on television for you to watch, put it on. You know?
I hear you. That's cool. And Foon, before we take it over to me, did you want to talk about Miss?
Oh yeah, I initially was going to have an add to your list, Teresa Giudice's Cameo. And for those who aren't familiar with Cameo, it is a program or platform where you can hire celebrities.
Oh yeah, I had a 90 Day Fiance person do one for Greg.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
you can have hire celebrities to send whoever you want a message.
I saw that Mandy Moore is on it now, which is
a lot of people are.
Oh wow,
yeah. Uh-huh. Someone hired Teresa to send a message to a young woman who was caught cheating on her fiance with the brother.
Something like that. Yeah, it was so crazy.
And her cameo was basically, you know what? I don't want to give away what she said because that's part of the humor, but you should just check it out. Google Teresa Giudice cameo and it'll pop up. It's pretty funny. Oh, yeah.
It's great. And it's even more funny because she's just in her car and she's like,
clearly,
you can't do that.
Yeah, like, it's like the easiest $1,000 she's ever made. She's like, oh, I have to do this cameo. Okay, hold on real quick. Let me knock it out.
Oh, my God. She is so great. Okay, cool. So I'll finish up our list. I have two cool, exciting things on my list this week, two movies. And it's funny, Tom, we're totally seeing a trend, as you said, with 90-minute films, because a lot of these films that are streaming or rentable are all like right around that like 88 to 92-minute like time frame. So the first movie I want to talk about is Hulu's very popular film, Palm Springs. Have you guys checked this one out?
Not yet.
Okay. So apparently, much like Greyhound for Apple, Hulu is reporting that Palm Springs was their most watched film, original film ever, breaking records for the first 3 days. They netted the most hours of any original Hulu film. So not surprising, because I feel like it came out at a really good time where Hulu didn't really have, I don't know, like, you know, any new stuff. And it's a perfect kind of very summer looking movie with them floating in the pool and everything. So Palm Springs, it's a romantic comedy with a major sci-fi element.
Oh.
Here's the thing. I wanted to like it a little more than I really did. So I'm going to say it's a one and done. It's very enjoyable. Okay, you agree, Tom. Okay, because a lot of people love it and are raving about it. And I'm like, what movie did I see? I think it's super fun. I think people are bored. Exactly.
Yep.
I think you're so right, Foom. It's super cute. Some great one-liners. I laughed a lot, so don't get me wrong. It's a fun, easy breezy 90 minutes of fun and laughter and everything. But I don't think I will remember this movie. Like a year from now, I'll be like, Palm Springs, what was that? So basically, super brief synopsis. We meet Niles, played by Andy Samberg, who is great. He's a great actor. I do think he's funny. I think he's a good leading man. He's got some heart to him. We meet him and Sarah, played by Kristen Milioti, I think is how you say her name. She's from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. What up, South Jersey girl?
Hey.
So they are Niles and Sarah. They don't really know each other. They meet at Sarah's sister's wedding. So her sister, Tala, played by the super cute Camila Mendez from Riverdale and Netflix movies, big, elaborate, beautiful Palm Springs wedding at this house in the mountains, in the desert. And we realize that Andy Samberg's character is in a time loop. And then somehow Sarah, Kristen Milioti's character, also gets in this time loop with him when they're trying to like get it on in the desert and like they're drunk and partying. And now they are in a Groundhog's Day like scenario. J.K. Simmons is also in it as a fun character. You find out more about him. But yeah, we kind of are watching a will they or won't they, you know, will they kind of become a couple as they are figuring out this weird world of they keep repeating November 9th, the day of her sister's wedding every day. So yeah, I feel like it's been done a little better with Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
I feel like that was funnier and a little more clever, but there's some good heart to this. I think it's a fine movie. I had to like wiki it just to make sure I like remembered everything. It's not super memorable for me, but you know, good for you, Hulu. And then the next item I have is a movie that just came out to VOD this weekend. Guys, I think we have a new horror classic. I love this movie. I love this movie. Good for you, Dave Franco. Co-wrote it, directed it, co-produced it. Who knew Dave Franco could make such a good horror movie with The Rental? So The Rental,
feel
everybody.
Like somewhere James Franco is like twitching of like irritation.
I'm sure.
And he doesn't
possibly. Oh, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's like, oh my God, bro, great job. And he's like, damn it. You know? Because we know, of course, James has made movies as well. Some great movies and some duds. But wow, guys, Dave Franco has arrived. Now, he's not in this movie, which I think is great. Because like those other movies that we were talking about, sometimes it's kind of like, do you need to be the lead role? Like, don't you have enough work behind the camera
right,
to do?
Totally.
And so Dave Franco is smart. He stays behind the camera. He has his wife, Allison Brie, in the movie. Great cast. Allison Brie, Dan Stevens, who Greg's mom thinks I look like. And thank you. We have Sheila Vand, who I really like. I didn't love her in that movie that really broke her out. A Girl Walks Home at Night. I didn't like that movie, but she's very interesting. We have the guy from Shameless, who I've always liked. His name is, what is his name? Jeremy Allen White. We have Toby Huss from Halloween, the 2018 version, who, very interesting role for him because we're used to seeing him kind of do funny and he is creepy. But guys, this movie got under my skin. I haven't in a while, maybe since Hush on Netflix, like flicked the lights off to go to bed and like ran to the bedroom. Like the other night, last night, the basement light was on and it was like 1 a.m. and we're like dead tired. And I'm like, shit, I have to go to the basement and to turn the light off. And I kept thinking of what happens in The Rental. So it sticks with you. Basically, short little synopsis. Very typical. I feel like Dave Franco sort of stole some ideas from Styx, but I'll let it slide. It works. So four friends kind of all around the age of 30. You know, there's a married couple and another couple. We have two brothers and their girlfriend's wives. They rent a beautiful, stunning house on the West Coast. It might be Oregon.
Oregon, yep.
Yeah, right, because he has an Oregon license plate. So, you know, maybe Northern California, Oregon, whatever. But beautiful, oceanside, massive house with all glass windows, which, of course, we know is prime for scary stuff. And they rented it on, you know, not Airbnb, but a site like that. Okay, great. Immediately, what's great about the script is there is tension that isn't horror-related. There's a little bit of friendship tension. There's a little bit of racial tension because Sheila Vand is Middle Eastern. So that's right off the bat. It's got some good suspense that isn't even related to the scary stuff. But as the movie rolls along, it's only 88 minutes long, it gets creepier and creepier and creepier. I didn't know where it was going. My advice to everyone, please do not watch the trailer. Because I watched the trailer, and I think it's a well-made trailer. They give away some stuff that I think I would have screamed at if I saw it in the movie not knowing. Because Greg didn't see the trailer, and he was on the edge of his seat. I did, so I kind of knew what to expect. don't watch the trailer if you haven't yet. Try to go in with a blind eye. Okay. I think it's great. I think it could easily, you know, be a franchise, a little art house thriller franchise maybe. I can't say enough about it. I was scared. Did you watch, Tom, right?
I did, yeah, and I liked it a lot. The only thing, so the ending reminded me a lot of Hellfest, right? Where, like,
yes,
you're getting no motive, and it's, like, very, like, oh, my God, this could really, really happen. The only thing is I felt like it was two movies, almost. Mm. You know what I mean? Like
I know
the
what you
horror
mean.
Stuff and then the stuff going on with the friends that was a little I Know What You Did Last Summer-esque.
I know. There was there's totally an I Know What You Did Last Summer. I mean, I almost felt like, wait a minute, are they taking lines from this movie? Because
Right. I feel like it was almost two movies in
Alison Brie
one,
channels but. Jennifer Love Hewitt very well in a scene. Uh-huh. I'm like, girl, this script has already been written.
Right.
But no, I know what you mean, Tom. But you know what? I actually really love that. I love an art house thriller like this that at times you kind of forget you're watching a horror movie, where you're so invested in the more drama, the real life shit, that you forget that, oh my God, like you're about to, you know, run for your life.
Yeah, but, and the hot tub scene, that's a nod to Halloween, is also really fucking scary.
I have to tell everyone before I wrap it up, what Dave Franco has made, and he co-wrote it with Joe Swanberg, who, if you know him, he's an indie guy who's been around for a long time. I think he dated Greta Gerwig a long time ago when they made movies together. He's part of the whole mumblecore horror thing. He writes really good characters, so his influence is definitely involved in this. He was in You're Next, and this kind of feels like it's part of the You're Next kind of family. Funny, though. So, yeah, there you'll see. But what they have created, guys, is a refined slasher film. I mean, it hits so many 80s tropes, but in such great ways. I don't want to give anything away, but once you watch Foom, let's all talk, because even the ocean fog, I mean, just everything feels so like, oh my God, this is so typical, but it's very smart and very real, and I was scared, guys. I am scared right now, and it's daytime.
This is so on watch VOD. The rental.
It's on VOD, yeah. Okay. We rented it on Amazon. You can rent it on iTunes. It's you know, around $6.99, $7.99. It's worth it. I like it. Hopefully I'm not overhyping it, because I thought it was a good movie. I actually will gladly watch this again soon. So that's the rental. So there you go. So that is our 100th list, everybody. Props to us. Woo! Yay, team. All right, so just to recap, episode 100, we had Greyhound. Tom gave us Greyhound on Apple TV Plus. That is an add this to your list. He also gave us Relic, which is a movie you can rent right now, which sadly is an okay to miss. Oy, that is a bummer. And then Fumi gave us Old Guard, Charlize Theron kicking ass on Netflix. Add this to your list. I can't wait to watch that. And she gave us Motherless Brooklyn, which is on HBO right now to stream. And that is a little bit more one and done, like a sort of soft ad, we'll say. And then I gave you Palm Springs, also a kind of one and done soft ad, enjoyable, but meh. And then The Rental, which I think is a must add this to your list for any thriller fans out there. So enjoy those and let us know what you think. You can tweet us and message us on social and let us know if you agree.
And speaking of that, Mark, so we are going to do something a little special for our 100th episode. We're turning it over to our listeners now. Mm-hmm. People who've been with us all along from episode one, when we were a little itty bitty indie podcast in a little itty bitty shop, which we still are in right now. Let's not kid ourselves.
I was going to say, we haven't grown too much.
I moved to the other side of my table, I guess.
Yep. But we have a couple clips from listeners who tell us. So if you remember, we did this at episode 50, and at episode 50, we asked listeners to tell us what is on their list that we haven't covered. This time, we're going to change it up a little bit, and we're asking listeners instead to talk about something that we turned them on to, right? That we that they ended up
that
loving
heard
from
about
hearing from this
us.
Podcast, or or even hating. You know, you can disagree with us. We're not, you know, we're not fascists.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, right.
So, without further ado, let's hear it from our listeners. There's no better way to celebrate episode 100, I think.
Yes,
I love it.
Hey, you guys, it's Sabrina. So by far my favorite show that I've watched that was on the list was actually episode 91. It was Mark's list, and surprise, surprise, it was Little Fires Everywhere. Loved it. Loved what Mark had to say and Fumi's input too. Just amazing. I always look forward to seeing what's next on your list, because when I'm looking for something to binge, you guys are always on point. And you definitely hit the nail on the head with this one. If anybody hasn't watched Little Fires Everywhere, go do it. Run right now. Stop everything. It's amazing. Love Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington. And those kids in the show, their characters, just amazing. Just an all-around amazing job. Really easy watch. So get to it. Love you guys.
Hi, this is Brad Shreve, and I couldn't disagree more with Tom's assessment of Tales of the City on Netflix. Yes, it's a new era, but none of the new characters were interesting except for Shauna and Jake. And what they did to Marianne Singleton, she went from naive yet adventurous in previous installments, and now she's an insecure, weak woman. And don't get me started on the special edition sitcom final episode. Sorry, Tom, but you missed the mark on that one.
Hey, Mark and gang. The first thing that came to my mind was your recommendation on Parasite. It was one of the first places I heard about the movie, and I was hesitant at first, but you all recommended it so highly. I watched and absolutely loved it, obviously, and I watched it way before the Oscar buzz and praise. So thanks, guys.
Hey, guys, it's Lori. One show I disagree and probably maybe agree a little bit on with Mark on is Katie Keene. I took a chance and decided to watch it, and it was just way too comic booky for me. But I did appreciate the production value and how beautiful it was to watch. But after about four episodes, I kind of gave up because it was just way, way too comic booky for me.
Happy 100 episode to the team that add this to your list. This is Joe Godley calling. Just really glad you guys are out there telling me what to watch, because boy, oh boy, am I overwhelmed with all the content out there in the world. Thanks for the motivation to watch the new Spike Lee joint, The Five Bloods. Super glad that I watched it at your guys' recommendation. Congrats you guys for doing the thing, and keep up the great work.
Hello, 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 Cassie here, and my favorite thing from the last 100 episodes has to be housekeeping and headlines. I have learned so much from your podcast about upcoming projects or projects that are put on hold or trashed entirely, and I get all of my celebrity pop culture news updates from Add This to Your List. And my favorite shows that I've seen that have been mentioned from this podcast have to be Never Have I Ever. I think that show is so cute. I love Mindy so much, and I think she's just a total badass that she once said, I didn't see myself in media growing up, so I just decided that I was going to have to create the content that I wanted to see. I tend to gravitate towards Fumi's suggestions, such as Fallout with Tom Cruise, love it, and Grown-ish, and a lot of other things that she's recommended. I liked Mark's recommendation of Game Night. I thought that was a really fun, quirky comedy. And I can't not mention that Tom calling Brad Pitt a plain Jane is one of the funniest things I've ever heard a human say. So overall, this podcast has brought me so much joy, and I can't wait for the next 100 episodes.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you all listeners who sent in a clip. Thank you for taking the time to do that.
Thank you so much.
Agreeing or disagreeing with us. We may still disagree with you. But that's it. That's a wrap for episode 100. Don't forget to engage with us on social. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Don't forget to review us, please, on Apple. Mm-hmm. That's the place that your reviews will go farthest for us.
Yep.
And don't forget to listen to past episodes at addthistoyourlist.com.
Yep.
Yes.
And thank you to Jay, Allie, and Greg for all the support you've given us throughout these 100 episodes. We literally could not have done it without you.
That's right. So true. Thank you guys so, so much.
Thank you.
And that's it. We'll be back in a couple weeks.
100 episodes! Hey.
Yep, we'll be back with 101.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you
we made it.
Ciao.
Bye.